Morning. Well, let me start off just by saying that it's a wonderful victory to see Jim here this morning. Jim and I have gotten to know each other a little bit over the last few months as Jim's been battling with some different health issues, and I got to pray with him at the hospital, and he accepted Christ as a Savior there, and it's just a wonderful joy to see him here this morning, and I know that's something he's been looking forward to for quite some time. And so, Jim, we're glad to have you here, and you're very welcome. So, thanks for... I know. You're very welcome. Good to have you. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about God is just and merciful. You know, those two things don't really seem to go together all that well. Justice and mercy. They almost seem to be contradictory to one another. But we're going to see this morning that that is not the case, that God is just and God is merciful. The first thing we need to understand is God's justice. God is a just God. Isaiah 61:8 says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make with them an everlasting covenant." He says, "I love justice. I love it when that person who has done wrong receives their reward." He loves to see wrong righted. Psalms 56 says, "Let the heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge." Selah. There's a Supreme Court Justice, Horace Gray, once informed a man who had appeared before him in a lower court and had escaped conviction on a technicality. He said to him, "I know that you are guilty, and you know it. And I wish you to remember that one day you will stand before a better and wiser judge, and there you will be dealt with according to justice and not according to the law." God is a just God. He knows all things. And the reality is, each one of us know that we have broken His rules. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God is the creator of all things, and because He is the creator, He gets to set the rules. You can like it or not, but that's the reality. He made us, and so He sets the rules. And we have all broken His rules. And therefore, we are guilty of His judgment. You know, when David sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan the prophet came and told him about his sin, he had killed a person, committed adultery, and what did David say? He said, "To you only, O God, have I sinned. To you only, to you have I sinned." Well, the reality is, God is the one that created the rules about adultery and about murder, right? God is the one that created life in His own image. And because He created those rules, when we break those, we sin against God. And so David recognized that we have broken God's laws and we are guilty of His judgment. In Romans 6:23, we see what that judgment is. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We see that death is the consequence of our sin. In Genesis 2:16 and 17, the Lord God commanded man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned." Now, what kind of death is he talking about there? There's actually two kinds of death. The one is we're all very familiar with, and that's physical death. And we see that God's word is true. In Genesis 5, we see that Adam lived 130 years, and he begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. And after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. God said, if you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. He ate of that tree, and he surely died. But we also see there's another kind of death. Well, before we get to that one, we also see in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. We will all be judged, but we will all die. That is the consequence of sin. But there's another kind of death, and that is spiritual death. There's physical death, and then there's spiritual death. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. You see, our sin separates us from God. 2 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10 said, these, speaking of the people who have not believed in the gospel of Christ, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior are going to be punished with everlasting destruction away from the presence of the Lord. Our sin separates us from God eternally. And so we see that the death that we receive because of our sin is both physical and spiritual. And so God is in a predicament. He must see justice done because he is a just God. But God is not only just, he is also a loving God. His actions are motivated out of his love. A lot of times we look at the Old Testament, we see, you know, that is the God of the Old Testament. The one that says, you've messed up and you're going to hell. That's not true. The same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Over in the Old Testament, we see many examples of God's love for his people. In Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. God delights in showing loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. That is who he is. That is his essence. That is his being. Loving and justice. God loves his creation. He loves the whole world. We see in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we see the marriage of these two things, justice and love, results in something called mercy. Mercy is the withholding of just condemnation. Mercy is the withholding of just condemnation. God is just to condemn us. He is right to punish us. But because of his great love, His mercy withholds that condemnation. In Psalms 103, 1 through 10, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." There was a mother who once approached Napoleon, seeking a pardon for her son. And the emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and justice demanded death. The mother said, "I do not ask for justice. I plead for mercy." "But your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon said. "Sir," the woman cried, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." "Well," then the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. That is how God has dealt with us. We deserved death. Spiritual death, physical death. And God gave us mercy. God is merciful to all. Psalms 145, 8 and 9 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." The Lord is merciful to all. He has sent His Son to die for every single one of man's sins. But God is especially merciful to those who repent and follow after Him. We find in Joel, it says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And He relents from doing harm. Who knows if He will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." Exodus 34, 6 and 7. "The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed," this is when Moses was up on the Mount Sinai, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." We see that God is a just God. But He is also very, very merciful. He doesn't even like to punish us for our wrongdoing. He doesn't find any joy in it at all. Instead, He finds joy when sinners repent. But how can a God be just and merciful at the same time? Paul has that answer in Romans chapter 3. God is just to forgive the redeemed sinner through Christ. Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as the propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Paul is saying that God is righteous, and He must be righteous. He must condemn sin, and that sin must be paid for. On the other hand, God so wants to have a relationship with us. And the only way He can do that is if our sins are wiped away. And so, because of His great mercy, He wants to forgive us of our iniquities and remove them from us. And so the way He accomplished both of those things was to send Jesus Christ, His own Son, to die and to take the penalty that we deserve. That He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So how should we respond to God's mercy? First of all, we must receive the mercy of God through the work of Christ. Mark 16:16 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Back in 1830, there was a man named George Wilson. He was convicted of robbing the U.S. mail and was sentenced to be hanged. President Andrew Jackson issued a pardon for Wilson, but he refused to accept it. The matter went to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who concluded that Wilson would have to be executed. He said, "A pardon is a slip of paper," wrote Chief Justice Marshall, "the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon, and George Wilson must be hanged." The president said, "I want to save your life. I want to issue a pardon for your full release." And the man said, "No, I don't accept." And he died. Christ did the same thing for us. God wanted a relationship. He said, "I want to have you released. I want to have your sins forgiven." And now it's up to us. Will we receive the work of Jesus Christ? Will we accept the pardon that He has offered us? We have that choice. We can say, "No, I don't want it." And we will die in our sins. If we have accepted that pardon, if we have accepted, received Jesus Christ as our Savior, the next thing we must do is to be thankful. We should be thankful for the mercy that we have received. Psalm 103, picking up and going 1 and 2, and then reading verses 11 through 14. We read 1 through 10 earlier. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are dust." God knows who we are. He knows the wrong things that we've done in the past. He knows our mistakes. He knows the mistakes that we're going to make. But because of His mercy, because of His great love for us, He continues to show mercy. And we must be thankful. We must not take it for granted. But we must be thankful to Him, and we must also show God's mercy to others. Matthew 9:13, Jesus said, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus said also in Luke 6, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." And through the prophet Micah, He issued this challenge: "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? We must be about what God is about. And God is about mercy. So many times we are about justice. You know, I think of being a parent, right? You want to teach these kids to walk in the right way, to glorify God with their life, to remove every iniquity from their lives. Your heart, your desire is to see them do right, that righteousness would mark their lives. But I know for myself, far too often, I show judgment and justice and not mercy. I know far too often I don't show the love of God in my judgments. Because we are so, and not as a bad thing, but we want to see justice. We want to see wrongs righted. God is amazing. When we deserve justice, He gives us mercy. You know, it's interesting. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, it's a verse many of us have heard over and over and over again. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a verse we've heard over and over again, but I want to point you to a passage, part of that verse that maybe you haven't thought about before. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. You know, it's interesting. He said, I beseech you, or I urge you, because of God's goodness? No. Because of God's holiness? No. Because of God's justice? No. I beseech you because of God's mercy. Because He has withheld just condemnation from you. It is right for you to live for Him. Because you deserve death, spiritual and physical. It is right for you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It is right for you to say, God, because you saved me, I will live for you. Around the time of the Korean War, Kim Jong-un had seen 2,000 out of 20,000 people on Chunam Island murdered by communists. They dragged he and his family outside of their village where Kim's father and wife were beaten to death. And Kim was left for dead. When he revived and sought safety at an acquaintance's house, he was turned over to the communists. Only the sudden appearance of an American ship off the island coast saved him that time. For the communist soldiers hurried away to the battle, and Kim hid out in the countryside until the South Korean army captured the island. The communists who had killed his wife and father were arrested. And because it was wartime, the police chief had authority to execute without a trial. And as the chief prepared to kill the men, Kim pleaded, spare them. They were forced to kill. The police chief showed great surprise. It was your family they killed. Why do you now want to spare their lives? And Kim replied, because the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, would have me show mercy to them. The communists were spared execution because of Kim's plea and news of his actions spread among the communist supporters in the area. And when Kim later climbed a mountain to preach to communists, hiding out, he was not killed. Many of the communists became Christians. And when Kim finally left the island, there was a flourishing church of 108 members. That is what God has called us to. He has shown us great mercy. He is an awesome God. And He has called us to be merciful to others. If there's somebody that's bothering you, be merciful, because God has shown you mercy. If there's somebody who has wronged you, be merciful, because God has shown you mercy. And if you see somebody along life's way who's on their way to an eternity without God, separated because of their sin, be merciful and share with them how they can receive God's mercy. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we deserve death, but You show us mercy. Thank You. Thank You for sending Your Son to pay a penalty we could not pay. Thank You for sending Your Son to die a humiliating, painful death because You loved us. Lord, it's overwhelming to think about what You did for us. We can't even understand it. We can't describe it. But Lord, as Your Spirit grows, our faith grows, Lord, out of appreciation, help us to model that behavior. Help us to be willing to say, Lord, because of what You have done for me, I am willing to forgive others. And as Your Word says, if we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us. If we don't understand what You've done for us, if we haven't accepted the package, if we haven't accepted Your Son's sacrifice, Lord, then we will not receive forgiveness. And if we have, Lord, we have no choice but to forgive others. Lord, help us. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. We get so tangled up in wrong things. I pray that, Lord, that Your Spirit would be with us and show us the way to go. Lord, that we would do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before You. I pray this in Jesus' name.